Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, prisoner advocate, original founder of New Vision Organization, and host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. We are all in the battle to end or prevent harsh prison sentences and abuses within the penal system nationwide. Today we have on with us again Stephen Bobo, a former corrections officer who, like others, made a mistake and also ended up for a brief time in prison. Stephen is now a strong advocate for prisoners and putting an end to the school-to-prison pipeline. Stephen is a perfect example of how one can make a mistake, end up in prison, and come out with a clear goal to stop the school-to-prison pipeline. Stephen will also once again talk about his new book and will let the audience know how he can be reached for those of you who would like to volunteer time towards his goal and or even discuss his book. So let's welcome Stephen Bobo once again. Stephen, are you on with us?
Yes, ma'am. I'm right here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being on with us.
Yes, ma'am.
So, Stephen, you want to talk a little bit about your situation, what you are doing, about your book, and also about the thing that made you decide to work on this school-to-prison pipeline?
Yes, ma'am. Of course, you know, I went to an inner-city school in Ohio, Dayton, Ohio. You know, God bless Dayton, Ohio right now because they just got hit with all those tornadoes. I went to a solid city school, and I seen so many people that I was in school with and get incarcerated as growing up as far as juvenile. Start out in juvenile detention centers and going to right into the next step, going into prison. Somewhere we have to find a way to cut that head off that snake, as far as I'm talking about, as far as a prison, as that pipeline. Because if we cut the pipeline, then we can start saving these kids. That's the main thing that these kids don't understand, that the prison is not the place to go. You go to prison, you have no voice. You think you have a voice, but you don't have a voice. You're just a number. You're just a number. You don't even have a name anymore. You're just a number. And what we get people to these kids to understand that it's not cool going to prison. It's not cool. You might think it is what you see on TV and what you see and hear about rap videos and all that type of stuff. That's not real life. Real life is when they shut that door behind you, you can't go nowhere for years. And that's the main thing that we need to start at is get that prison pipeline cut. And let's start get these kids right. That's what we have to do.
Exactly. They don't realize how it is. They haven't been in that position.
Nope.
Have you ever thought of making it possible for these kids to, you know, to actually go into the prison? Would you be allowed to do that, to do something like that, so that they can get idea of what it is like in a serious, serious prison setting?
Yeah, it's like that's what like the Scared Straight program was. It was like what you see on TV. Once again, that's TV. I really believe that they do need to see exactly how it is when you get booked in, going through CRC, or actually the first step going into prison, the CRC, when you meet the COs, and they talk to you crazy, and you have to get stripped butt naked, men and women have to get stripped butt naked, and take all your clothes off, put all your clothes in a box, and ship it back home, and then you have to put their clothes on, their underwear, their socks, their T-shirts, you have to wear what they give you. All your name brand stuff is gone. So now you're just, like I said, now you're just a number. When you go up for a visit, you give your last name, and it's always your last name, and then your number. You never know. I tell you, I know my prison number like I know my Social Security number. And that, like I said, a lot of these kids are going in young. They're just too young, like 13, 14 are going into prison. There's no reason for these young kids going into prison that young.
No.
14, 15, there's no reason, you know, they're just going to be get preyed on with these older inmates. It's just a prey. They're going to get preyed. They're going to get sexually abused. They're going to get extorted, taking money, you know, having their family send money to them. And that's what's going to happen. You know, that has to stop some type of way. And I don't think they really understand it. I think, like I said, they think it's cool. They think it's cool to have a number. It's not cool at all. Because they don't understand when you go to prison, depending on what type of problem you have, you're not going to get a good paying job. it's going to be almost impossible to get a good paying job. Because like I said, I got early release, and I was coming. I had to go back to my state, my county I was sentenced out of, to get my judicial release through the same judge that sent me to prison. I came through. I had all my blues. I didn't have my regular clothes. I had my state blues, and I'd take them off and give it to the county jail. And then guys were in there, young kids was in there. And, you know, not young, like 20, 19, 20. Oh, man, where are you coming from, man? Oh, man, you went to prison? Oh, man, I can't wait to go to prison so I can put my prison number tattooed on my arm. I just looked at him and said, why do you want a prison tattooed on your arm? You're already out of care, a stigma that you're an inmate, you're ex-con. So that's going to be following you for the rest of your life. But you want to put a prison number on your arm. There's nothing cute about that.
So what are the goals that you have for preventing this school to prison pipeline? Some of the things that you are considering or have already put in place to try to prevent happening.
One thing I would love to do, and that takes a lot of work and taught a lot of people to help you get that stuff done, is to make out education for these kids to understand that. This is not how it goes. This does not, like I said, take them in to see what happens in the prison. Like a scared straight, not through a county jail, but to a state prison. And you need to go to a big time prison, not no little workhouse, not no little busy junior, no little busy small prison, but a nice size prison so you can actually see what it looks like. When you see them people, they're going to be yelling at you as soon as you walk in, fresh meat on the line, stuff like that. And how does it feel like when you see somebody in there working out and they're bigger than your dad and bigger than your brother, bigger than you, and you big too, but you know these guys look like monsters compared to you do. And that's what they need to see. That's real life, not what you see on TV. You think it's fun and games on TV, but because you can't get hurt watching TV, but you get hurt in there. And that's the main thing that I really want people to understand that is real life. These kids need to understand that's real life. What you're trying to go to, it's not real life. And what you watch on TV is not real life. What you watch in these crazy shows, and you know, I watch these crazy shows too. You know, all of us do. But I do have the intelligence. I'm not saying they're stupid. I'm just saying, but I do have the street smarts and knowing being on the inside. Now, if I do that for real, I'm going to be back inside and probably more time because I already have a number. You know, so don't do it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it at all for you to sit there and say, man, I got to go back in. Why do you want to go back? I wouldn't want to go back. But yes, ma'am, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, Stephen, I was going to ask you, now that you're mentioning this, again, if you could give the audience your information to contact you if they would like to participate in some of these things. And I was going to also suggest, and we might have already discussed this, is the possibility of you and maybe forming a small group to go into the various community colleges and high schools, even universities, to talk to these students about these things and maybe even try to get them involved in some of the work you're doing so that they will feel like a part of it. Because one of the things that's lacking in this country in with these adolescents throughout the country is role models. And what you're talking about, what you're doing is exactly the role of a role model. And I think that they would benefit from being with you and being able to do some of these things. I don't know if you've considered it.
I've thought about it. Like I said, it's kind of hard. You got to have the right connection to get into that, something like that. But I have been working on it. I do have some people. Right now, I have a mentor. He's an ex-lawyer, and he's helped me do my stuff for my group, my book and stuff like that, doing the legal aspect of it, make sure I don't do nothing crazy, that he's looking over all my paperwork and stuff like that. But the main thing is, like you just said, you have to have the connection to get in places like that. And the main reason why a lot of these kids, I'm talking about boys, a lot of the reason why these boys are doing the stuff that they do, the father figure is not around. And
really?
That's the big thing, that dads are not around. Either the people who's raising these kids, these boys now, are like the big brothers, and most likely the big brothers are the ones who are on the streets doing the dope or selling the dope. You got uncles that they got kids of their own, so they're trying to raise their brother's kid or their brother-in-law's child, their sister's kid. You know, it's hard. You know, my wife, she's not single. She was a single parent when I was growing up, when I went to prison. Even though I have friends and family there to help her with my daughter, but it's a bigger. I think it's a bigger difference when it's boys. A man has to raise a son, and that's one thing I always try to teach them guys when I was inside. When I was a CEO and when I was inmate, I used to try to tell them, you have to be there for your son. Because right now, you're not setting an example for your son being inside this prison. Then that's not an example that he needs to see. You know, he doesn't want to come home. People say, well, what's your dad doing? Oh, my dad's on countdown in lockdown right now. He can't even call me. You know, it's things like that. But that's the main thing. We have to find a way to make these kids understand that there are some positive things that you can do. And especially young kids that are going in and got kids. They have to say, now I have to live for him. I got to live for my son that just is born now. I got to make sure I'm there for him so I get out of here, I don't go back. So when he goes up, I'm here to see him. Because that is a big, big thing when a kid don't see us, especially a son don't see his dad. That's hard. I know how hard it was for me not seeing my dad around. And my dad wasn't locked up. My dad just wasn't around. My mom raised me, and my grandmother and my grandfather, they raised me. My mom walked sidelines on football fields when I was playing pee-wee ball. She's the one who walked around. She's the one who took care of me when I broke a leg or broke an arm or sick. She's the one who took care of me. And see, that's not right. A mother has enough on her plate to have to play both roles. Not saying that they can't do it, because they can do it, but it shouldn't be that hard. A son needs a dad. A daughter needs a father. Because truthfully, the daughter's going to get the first boy she sees is going to be the one who her father, she reminds of her father. And he has to be a positive role model, because you don't want no knucklehead to come knock on the door for your daughter. You know, and that scared the death out of me when I was locked up. Because, okay, now my daughter, she remembers when I was locked up. But I always tried to tell her, even when she came to visit me and write me, I said, don't find someone who made the same mistake that your dad made. Don't do that. I said, because you're better than that. You know, and that's the main thing I want people to understand. I'm sorry, go ahead. I'll cut you off again.
No, that's okay. The sad thing is, when it comes to Father's Day, when it comes to football season, these are the things that I think these are the anniversary dates of a lot of these kids when these things happen because they're lacking their father, not being able to celebrate Father's Day, but yet hearing about it on television and seeing all these kids with their fathers, you know, celebrating. And it's sad because, unfortunately, these are the things that are shown on television. You can't escape it. So these kids are seeing all these things. And kids that are playing football, basketball, baseball, you know, not even able to have their father there for them. And as you say, your mother was the one that was there for you. But I'm sure that you would have preferred to have your dad there with you.
Yes, I would have. You know, like I said, there's a lot of stuff, like I say, a father has to teach a son. My mother taught me about, and I have to say it like this, my mother taught me about protection when you're trying to have sex and stuff like that. She's the one that taught me how to do all that. You know, she didn't tell me to do it, but she said, well, that's what you need to do if you're going to do, but I'm not telling you to do. You know, my mother telling me, my mom telling me what not to do with the woman. You know, and I learned, but, you know, I think that's what helped me a lot, what I do now with women, because I think more for a woman than I do still, because I see the stuff that my mother had to go through as far as being how hard it was for her to make ends meet. So my wife was the same way when I was locked up, how she had to go through everything by herself. Even though her family was there, but it's not the same thing when your daughter's screaming for her dad. And daddy can't come and help you. And that's what a lot of these kids need to understand, that that's what you're going to miss, especially if you have children. And these kids, this pipeline, you have to let them know, just because your dad is locked up doesn't mean that's the tradition you have to follow. You can break that curse, that family curse, because I told my daughter, just because I went, you're not going to carry that curse on to nobody else. It stops here. You're not doing that nowhere. I'm stopping it here.
Now, as far as getting something going to help you to get into these schools and to do these things, you are I don't know if you have on your website, but maybe what you want to start recruiting are coordinators to coordinate these programs into these universities, schools, and high schools, the community college, to have a contact person to contact them to set up these things. And you would want to write a proposal of what your discussion will be about, the workshop or whatever you will be doing with these young kids. So perhaps on your website you could, or even through Volunteer Match or one of those places, try to recruit a director of recruitment. And this way it would free your time up for other things that you have to do in recruiting.
Yes,
but recruiting
a
coordinator and recruiting someone to actually handle the initiation or the establishment of different programs that you want to put together to work with these youth in the communities. Because you're going to have a lot on your plate. But again, what I'd like to have you do, Stephen, is give the audience your contact information and actually try to figure out some kind of a plan and how you want to use these volunteers. There'll be volunteers in different areas of expertise or wanting to work in different areas. So you'll have a lot of them that will be able to be of help in whatever areas you need. But you want to give them your information again?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You guys can find me on Facebook. I'm Stephen Bobo, Stevenbobo. I'm on Facebook. I just reopened my Twitter. I can't remember what it is because I messed it up, so I had to redo it all. But you can get me at my email is BoboFamily247@hotmail.com. You can hit me on there. That's BoboFamily247@hotmail.com. And I'm looking for anybody who can help me do what I need to do, like she was just saying, to get into these schools, to talk to these kids, to help this pipeline, that we can stop this pipeline together. I don't want no credit. I just want to stop this pipeline altogether, so these parents, these mothers, and kids can see their children, not go in that system. Because I don't never want to have my mother. I don't want no mother have to see their children get locked up and be on the news like I was. That's something I do not want any mother have to recognize their child on the news. 6 o'clock news, there I was. My mother didn't deserve to see that. My grandmother was alive when I went to jail. And I really hurt because she's passed away now. But she saw me get out. But the simple fact is, that little time, she saw her youngest grandson go to prison. And I that haunts me now because I feel bad about that. But now I try to do this so I can make her proud. I want her to understand what I'm trying to do, try to right my wrongs, try to help anybody else I can help. And that's my job, is to make sure I make everybody happy, try to make everybody happy, do the right thing. Because these kids do not need to be in that system. I've seen too many kids get abused and young kids get abused in the system when I was in there as a guard and as an inmate. It's ridiculous how they get treated, and I don't want parents to think that that's what happens, because it doesn't always happen, but there is times when it does happen. And if you go visit your child, you ask them what's going on. Is everything okay? You have the right to ask them that. Don't think you can't. You can ask them the right. You have the right to ask them that. And also, when you talk to them on the phone, be careful what you say on the phone, because that phone is being taped. That phone is being taped. I can tell you that. Be careful what you ask. It's being taped. Also, your mail does get read. But if you go on a visit, you talk to them, ask them what's going on. Make sure see what's going on with them. Everything is okay, especially if they're young, going like 17, 16, 17, because there are people in there who are looking for them boys like that age, because they want them kids and boys that age to be in their family inside the prison. Make sure they do what they have somebody who's telling them what to do. So they want somebody that you're going to be doing the dirty works while I'm getting all the benefits. That's what they're looking for. You got to be careful. But that's another reason why I want to start this pipeline, so I can tell them kids before they go in, you don't want to. You don't want to, because you get too far in, sometimes you can't get out. You can't get out. Even when you get out, then you still owe. And don't owe nobody nothing in prison. That's a good thing these young kids do. They gamble when they go in there. And then they can't pay the thing back. And then when you get out, you still got to pay when you get out. Because they know people on the outside, and they're going to come try to get back. So it's never over. But the pipeline is something. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Stephen. I'm sorry.
No. You're fine. It's your show. I'm listening. Go ahead. Do what you do. You ask any questions.
I'm
ready.
As well with the Department of Department of Youth Services, DYS. That might be another. I mean, when you get these volunteers, if you can get a director of coordination, you know, department or whatever division, to maybe contact not only the community colleges and the high school, but also the Department of Youth Services, because I know they have these programs in the YMCA, YWCA, where they have a small group go in and actually talk to the youth there, to the, you know, these kids that are dysfunctional or that are wayward. And that's another thing, another area where I think you could make a big difference is coordinating services with the Department of Youth Services. Because there's so many things that they don't get around to doing either.
You're right.
Volunteers, even the state prisons for the adults, but they're looking for volunteers to go in different areas to do workshops in different areas. You know this because you work for the department yourself. But these are maybe things that you might want to recruit the volunteers to, you know, to work with you in those areas, to assign them different job roles, different areas where they can, you know, they can run that department with your oversight.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. That sounds great. I would love to do it. I will definitely look into that. I definitely will.
And I interviewed a woman from Massachusetts. She's an author of Breakdown. She's a psychologist, and she's saying that she goes out into the streets looking for, you know, these cases where these people, the individuals are out in the street that have mental illnesses or addictions. And sometimes that's what it takes. It's like the Crusaders or whatever, to go looking for these kids, even the adolescents out in the streets, and those that are actually forming gangs because don't know what else to do, and they're all confused because of role models. But these are areas I think you would be excellent in.
And that's why a lot of kids young kids. That's another thing. That's a good point. I forgot about that. That's another reason why these young kids join gangs, because that's family. That's kind of because they don't have family. That's why they join gangs, because that's protection. That's family for them. And you're exactly right. And you know what? And that's another thing that we do need to look into, because the gang population is growing big. And I used to always think it wasn't that big. I always think about L.A. and Chicago and stuff like that, but it's everywhere. And that's the main thing. We have to find a way to shut that down too, or try to get help for these kids, because they want, not the kids want out, but they, like I said, they need protection. They feel like they're protected in the gang because they don't have their home.
I do hope that the people in the audience will be of help. And Stephen, are you looking at now state only, or are you eventually looking at national work that you would be doing?
I'm looking for national. It needs to go national. It doesn't have to be my state. It can be anywhere. California, Florida, can be anywhere. National.
Great. That is needed.
Yes, ma'am. Everywhere. Yes, because if Washington D.C. can do the stuff that they did to everybody, then there can be some people who can do the right thing to help everybody. And that's what I want to do. I want to help everybody can help, because these kids need help and families need help. And it's not, like I said, it's not a black thing. It's not a white thing. It's not a Mexican thing. It's a kid thing. It's a person thing. That's all it is. It's a person thing.
Exactly. Which brings me to the next recruitment of maybe some community outreach workers, those to go into the communities, not only to go into the communities, but also to the state reps, the legislators, you know, politicians, and talk to them about working with them. You could actually have them working with you on these issues, because there are politicians out there that are focused on, you know, the school to prison pipeline, and also the kids out in the communities that are messing up so much. So connecting with the police department and the politicians about ways that you could be of help, ways that you can help them, and recruiting volunteers to work in those areas with you as well.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. One person I know, we've talked, JD, we definitely talked about that because he has that book out. I can't remember what the book's called, but it's dealing with the stuff that's going to try to help people to make sure they think before they react. And we've talked about joining up so we can go to the talk to these kids and stuff like that. And that's exactly who I want to work with. Me and JD can do a lot of that, a lot of good stuff. And there's a lot of people out there who can do a lot of good stuff, but I love the help. Anybody who hears my voice and who wants to help, please look me up, and then we can try to get this done.
So much need. And I think you and JD are a perfect team to work together in a lot of these areas, too. Now, Stephen, do you want to let the audience know about your new book as well?
Yes, ma'am. My new book will be out. We're trying to shoot for November, December, around the holidays, called Conviction to Redemption, the story of my life, of going from playing semi-pro football, being a professional wrestler, being a correction officer, being an inmate, or a returned citizen. It's a story of everything. I have everything in there from all the stuff that I used to do, all the crazy stuff I used to do, illegal stuff I used to do, the womanizing, all that type of stuff, all that type of stuff. And it's in that book. It's a story, like I said, truthfully, it's a story of my life. I don't pull no punches, but I don't use no names. So there's a lot of things in there. You'll be like, I know who that is. And you'll know who it is when you drop little hints about it with the professional wrestlers and stuff like that. And also bodyguarding. I did bodyguarding for rappers. I did bodyguarding for rappers and R&B artists and stuff like that. You'll know who I'm talking about when I give hints about that. But I did bodyguard work and all that type of stuff. There's a lot of stuff that I've done, and I did a lot of good stuff too, but also did a lot of stupid stuff. So that's
it.
The thing is,
so I just want. Yes, ma'am.
What are you doing?
The thing is, in your book, and somebody on the line with us is, I don't know if they realize their phone is not muted, one of the is that in your book, you talk about the things that you used to do as far as womanizing and all these other things that you outgrew, which is a perfect example of what I always say about prisoners in general and people in the streets. People outgrow a lot of the things that they do that are inappropriate. You know, when they're younger, like you say, they think everything is cool, but it shows that you have outgrown because you've come a long way. So that book is going to be very interesting, and that is a book I want to order when it does come out because it shows the things that people go through, and I'm looking forward to seeing it. But
thank you.
Just to say that I really admire you. I admire JD because what you men are doing, what you individuals are doing is something that most everyone that's listening into this show needs to be out there doing too. If you can't do it on your own, then join groups or people like Stephen Bobo or J.D. Rutherford. Join people that are really trying to make a difference. Even if you just use it virtual volunteering, making phone calls, writing letters, you know, emailing, whatever you can do. But in what Stephen is planning on doing, it's going to involve needing coordinators. It's going to involve needing community outreach workers. So get in contact with Stephen. Offer whatever help you can. And who knows, you may be seeing a lot of people in your own communities. So, Stephen,
yes,
we're going to be wrapping it up in another minute. So if you can just let everybody know whatever it is you want, and then we will resume this next Thursday, June 13th at 6:30 p.m., and you can go more depth about it.
Yes, ma'am, I sure will. Like I said, everybody, please contact me. My email address is bubblefamily247@hotmail.com. That's bubblefamily247@hotmail.com. I will return your messages. I have people who work with me that I give my stuff out, and they'll look it up and let me know. You have a contact with somebody. On Facebook, definitely call me. I'm Stephen Bobo, S-T-E-V-E-N, Stephen Bobo at B-O-B-O. I'm on Facebook, and I will definitely, you just let me know where you heard me from and what's going on, because a lot of people I don't accept because we have a lot of people who are not about the right thing. Just get my address on that. We have COs who come on there who try to find out what's going on, and I add a whole bunch of people. Just like I said, just leave a little thing, let me know who you are, And the people who I work with or who I do stuff with, who does my Facebook work with me, Christy Wilson, she will go through and check you out like that. And Danielle, she does the same thing. She'll go through and see who you are and everything like that. And then they'll get to me. And then I will accept you. And then we can try to go to work and try to do things that we need to do. I definitely need people to help me get this prison pipeline stopped, because I'm tired of seeing these young kids going to jail. I sit here watching the news, watch these young kids go to jail.
Great.
And the mother's crying. Yeah,
thank you so much. And we'll pick up on this next week. And, again, what you're doing is awesome.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I'll see you next week.
You too. Bye-bye.